Blog Talk Radio.
And through a series of tubes across the interwebs, from my mouth through those tubes to your brain, it's Jim Valley, and we are live, Saturday Morning Wrestling, where we bring the white trash entertainment to you each and every Saturday, live from the shores of Lake Washington, or as close as I can get in my tax bracket. It's the time where we reminisce about all the time we spent in front of the tube, rotting our brains and our eyes, and enjoying all of the cavalcade that we call professional wrestling. Whether you grew up in the Attitude Era, whether you grew up in the post-Attitude Era, whether it was the boom of cable TV, or whether you just watched your favorite territory each and every Saturday, we talk about it all here on the Saturday Morning Livecast. And joining us today, one of the cool things I think about the livecast is that I try to play off current events that are happening, and I try to play each show off each other. You know, like, for example, someone brought up the famous Rick Steamboat and Jay Youngblood tag team, and I went out and I found Chris Romero, one of the living brothers of Jay Youngblood, and we've had him on the show a couple of times this year, one of our fun guests, I think. And so last week, we had the grappler on, Len Denton, another one of my favorite guests. Man, he tells some great stories, and if you've never gotten his book, I encourage you to do so, because it is pretty amazing, and you need to do that. It's called Memoirs of a Masked Madman, and if you're looking to give somebody something wrestling-related for Christmas, sincerely, you cannot go wrong with that book. It's great writing, very entertaining stories, and as I've said before, he's been everywhere. So I highly encourage you to check out the Grappler's book and get it for any wrestling fan on your list. It's one of my favorite books ever, and I highly encourage you to do that if you can. Even if you haven't heard from the Grappler, the stories are very, very relatable. So last week, Grappler tells a story about Raven, who was in Portland Wrestling in around 1989, 1990. And, Raven, not unlike real life, was kind of mouthy and was mouthing off in the dressing room. And Grappler told a story about how a guy by the name of the Equalizer, who you may remember in WCW as Dave Sullivan, he punched him right in the eye, and Raven went out and had to go out on camera with a shiner, and they put it all on television, put the big real life shiner on TV and stuff. And so, based on that story, I thought, geez, we should get the Equalizer on. We should get Dave Sullivan on. And lo and behold, today the guest on the big shoe is Dave Sullivan, the Equalizer, or EBAD. There's a lot of people know him as. And Dave Sullivan, gosh, I've seen virtually all of his career, and I didn't even realize it, because he basically started in Portland Wrestling. So we'll talk to Dave Sullivan today on the radio. I believe he's a football coach now. And anyway, so we'll talk to him coming up in a little bit, and we'll talk about his career and things like that. And we'll talk about how he went from sort of a Bruiser Brody clone doing the Huss and dressed up like Brody and copying Brody's mannerisms to becoming sort of a lovable character who was dyslexic, EBAD Sullivan. And that's one of the things that I want to talk to you about. And I want to warn you, we're going to use some politically incorrect terms here, but we're going to use them in the context of talking about history. So I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem with some politically incorrect terms if you're dropping them too casually, or you're using them as names or labels or as a way to hurt people or degrade people. I think that's bad. But I think that if you talk about them in the context of history for education and things like that, I don't have a problem with that. So if you do have a problem, I just wanted to let you know that maybe this isn't the show for you, but we're not using them as a way to degrade people. We're using them as a way to talk about history and show maybe how far we've come. Have we come that far? But, Dave Sullivan went from this beast monster to this sort of man-child in WCW. And he became Evad because the character of Dave Sullivan was dyslexic. And, if you are dyslexic, if you've had to deal with that, that's one of the challenges in your life. I certainly sympathize with you, and I'm not making light of your situation at all, and I think that's something to respect. But I think that, for the sake of our purposes, to talk about it as a source of comedy is odd now, isn't it? Isn't that weird? That today you could never get away with that. But back in the day, you could. That no one, I don't know, it's weird how wrestling got away with everything, and now it's so, I don't, it's not politically correct, but it is very careful about things. And when you look back and you see that Dave Sullivan was made fun of Dave Sullivan for having dyslexia in storylines. And you look back and you see things like the homophobia in wrestling, where you had, for example, I think, Terry Garvin comes to mind, characters like Goldust, where they played off of it. Obviously Gorgeous George even played off of the homophobia angle. And even as recently as, things like Harlem Heat, where the idea was that they were going to come out with Colonel Parker and chains, and that they would be, I don't know, I guess they were supposed to come off a chain gang, but obviously they had iconography of slavery. Tammy Sitch, when she was Tammy Fitch in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And Tammy Fitch was supposed to come out, and I think she was originally supposed to be put with Tony Atlas. Because Tony Atlas, I don't know, there was supposed to be some sort of heat, I guess. They thought Southern fans would be upset because you have a Caucasian woman and an African-American man, and that was supposed to be heat. I remember seeing a few times they did that, and, being just a kid from Seattle, I didn't understand what the big deal was. But, there's a lot of history there, and they were trying to exploit those fears. Adrian Adonis, adorable Adrian Adonis, played off of those fears and social mores. And a lot of those, I don't know, I never really cared. I never, for me personally, I was like, I didn't really care if somebody was anything, as long as they were, playing by the rules of life and acting appropriately as far as the way they treated me and other people. It never really bothered me. Yeah, Adrian Street. Adrian Street is another. And Adrian Street's was different because, certainly he was effeminate, but I don't think that the character Adrian Street was supposed to be gay. I think he was supposed to just do all of these effeminate machinations to get in his opponent's heads, because he had Miss Linda, and also he was also, not only just in real life, but his character in wrestling, they got across that he could wrestle and he was tough and everything like that. And it's just strange how wrestling is, it has gotten better in a lot of aspects. And I think that's a good thing. And when people say, oh, I want to go back to the attitude era and I want things to have attitude, I think they're talking more about, maybe dropping a few inappropriate words and things like that. I don't think they mean playing off stereotypes and playing off, you know, a lot of ignorant fears of the past. I don't know if you were around to see Mike Rotundo from the Varsity Club. Do you remember that one? That one was a weird one, and I'll explain why as we talk about it coming up next here on the live cast. It's Saturday Morning Wrestling. It's Jim Valley. If you want to chime in, you can do so at 515-605-9345, 515-605-9345, and push 1 to get in the queue if you want to talk about some wrestling this morning as we get ready for Dave Sullivan here on the live cast on Saturday Morning Wrestling.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
Hey, it's the PW Torch livecast. It's Jim Valley, Saturday Morning Wrestling. Hoping to take your calls at 515-605-9345. During the break there, sorry the break went a little long, but I just got a text from Dave Sullivan, and he's apparently in a meeting and won't be able to do the show now. Yay! Alrighty then. Well, sorry about that, kids. He was all good to go. I texted him last night. Everything was fine. I texted him earlier this morning, and I literally just got word. So, live podcasting. Yay. Alrighty then. Well, that's going to be fun. Well, a little annoyed. Oh, wrestlers. Oh, flaky wrestlers. Oh, well, such is life. Well, if you want to help a brother out and call in, you certainly can. And you can do that at 515-605-9345, 515, I should say, 605-9345. It's Jim Valley. It's Saturday Morning Wrestling, and it's just one of those days. That's just the way it is. Anyway, we're talking about wrestling and some of the stereotypes that wrestling used to play off of. And I don't know, as a kid, it never really hit me. Then you go back and you see some of this stuff, and you're like, oh yeah, wow. Well, look at that. I don't know. Maybe it's one of the reasons I don't know. As a kid, it doesn't really register with you, but I guess I get why some people are offended, but it's just wrestling and it's just to have fun. And that's what we're doing here on the old live cast. We're just here to have some fun. Hey, by the way, I have an announcement, and, you know, this year has been a lot of fun as far as the live cast go. I mean, we've had some really fun guests. We've talked to, you know, Austin Idol comes to mind, and Jeannie Clark, and with Dusty Wolf, and all kinds of great people. Randy Hales, Bill Dundee was fun. The Grappler, obviously, and so many other people. And we've heard some great stories from people like B. Brian Blair and other legendary characters and wrestlers and people in the world of professional wrestling. We've talked to Dave Milliken and Dave Wills and other people. You know, it's been fun, but unfortunately, my incarnation of Saturday Morning Wrestling looks like it's coming to an end. I'll probably do one more week of this, and then that's going to be it. As it looks like I'm getting into a job, and that job is going to require me to work some Saturday mornings. And, you know, I don't know if you recall my story, but in 2012, I got really sick with an autoimmune condition that no one really knows how you get it. Nobody knows anything about it, really, not too much. And I almost died four times related to this autoimmune condition. And the medicines to take for this, you know, are pretty harsh. So they kind of did a number on my body. And even though it's been almost 5 years, it's been a long road back. And it's been difficult. So, you know, it looks like I'm going to go back and to do some stuff for one of my old radio stations. And unfortunately, that means my Saturday mornings are going to be taken. You know, I don't know if I'm going to do another show for Wade. I don't know if he's going to keep doing a Saturday show or not, or what his plans are. I'll certainly try to keep you updated, or you can follow Wade on Twitter or on the website at pwtorch.com, as I'm sure he'll let you know at some point. But he's still considering all of that is still up in the air. But I just want to thank you for listening and for downloading and for calling in and emailing and tweeting and all of that good stuff. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, while sometimes the interaction and the phone calls haven't been everything I've ever wanted, you know, I wish you guys would call in a little bit more, but I understand time shifting is kind of the way that podcasts work. You know, the numbers have always been great. The numbers have been pretty impressive as far as downloads and live listens, and it's always one of the top shows of the week, and I really appreciate that, considering that we don't have big name guests. It's not, you know, the best time slot as far as listening goes, and you know, a lot of people download this show even without, you know, like I said, you know, even without, you know, superstars listening and or superstar guests and everything like that. So it's been great, and I really appreciate all of your support. But it is what it is. So like I said, it looks like next week is probably going to be the last show. And it is what it is. And I really appreciate it. Like I said, you know, I mean, you can always tweet Wade and tell him you want to hear me at some point, but, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. So I will let you know, or Wade will let you know, but thank you. I mean, as far as wrestling goes, it's been a great year. Not only all the fun people we've gotten to talk to on the show and some of the crazy stories and, you know, all the road stories we've heard on the radio show, but, you know, also I can't thank Greg Price, you know, being able to go to NWA Legends Fan Fest in Charlotte and be on the stage there and meet so many great people like Bob Keller, and I mentioned Greg Price and Jeannie Engel and just all kinds of, and all the people who added me on Twitter and on Facebook. That's been a lot of fun, and you know, we got to do a lot of cool things at the NWA Legends Fan Fest, and I wouldn't have been able to do this without your help and without your support. You know, I got to meet one of my heroes, Austin Idol, and got to interview Austin Idol on stage, got to interview him here on the live cast, and that was a big thrill. Got to interview Road Warrior Animal again, and he's always great. I mean, growing up, you know, in the 80s, you know, you got to be a Road Warrior mark. You know, so many great things. And, you know, I really appreciate it. And also, by the way, you know, the latest person that gets signed by WWE, I got to interview Mickie James. And she was a wonderful interview, lovely woman. And, you know, you can still get those interviews through NWA Legends. And you can get those, you know, you can get a ton of content, like 60 hours, you know, like 16 hours of content, I think for like $30 right now. I think they're half price still. You can find out more at NWALegends.com. But again, another thing for fans, if you want to get something for the wrestling fan on your list, definitely sign up for the Torch. But if you're already a Torch VIP member, which I heartily encourage, the other thing to get them is I did 6 Q&As, which are essentially shoot interviews with Mickey James, Austin Idol, Road Warrior Animal, Magnum TA, Tony Schiavone, who killed it, and Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. And I would put those interviews up against anybody else's interviews in anywhere you're going to find. And you also get the wrestling card that night and the Hall of Heroes banquet, which just this emotional speech from Magnum TA, which was brilliant. Also Baby Doll and Paul Jones, Jimmy Valiant, the guys from Mid-Atlantic Gateway and others. So you just get this ton of just high-quality content. So that's another thing you should do if you want to give something this holiday season to one of your friends. But, I mean, I got to be a part of that. I got to meet so many wrestling fans, and that was great. So, I mean, as far as wrestling goes, it's been a banner year for me. And I really appreciate everything that you've done for me. Thank you to Wade Keller and the entire family at the Torch. But, I gotta get back in the workforce and dig myself out of all of this medical debt that I have. So next week I'll be here, and I'd appreciate your call-ins and your tweets and your emails that you can do at call in at 515-605-9345. So you can always call in and do that as well. So we appreciate all of that, and thank you for a great year, and thank you for a very fun year with all the things I've been able to do. I wouldn't have been able to do them without you and your support, and particularly the downloads. I'm always pleased when I go through all of the download history and you look at the stats and the analytics, and it always does really, really well. So thank you for that. But all good things must come to an end. So it looks like next week I'm going to do my last show. I don't really have any plans yet because this is kind of sudden. But thank you for that. Thank you for everything. And like I said, I'll still do the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil, which is a great feature for VIP members. And I'll still download some old Total Chaos shows, and those will be up on pwtorch.com for VIP members, so be sure to sign up and do that. But as far as the live cast goes, I just don't have the time, unfortunately, for Saturday mornings anymore. I got to go out and make me some money. But like I said, you can call in at 515-605-9345 and push 1, by the way, if you want to get on hold. I don't know why the Blog Talk is goofy like that now, and they don't give you those instructions, but as the Rembrandt said, that's just the way it is, baby. Anyway, it's Jim Valley, and we are live, and we're here Saturday, at least one more Saturday, and I appreciate all that you have done for me. Hey, coming up next, we'll take a look at some of this day in history as we keep going on the PW Torch Livecast here at pwtorchlivecast.com.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
And we're back on the PW Torch Livecast. It is brought to you by LootCrate.com. Loot Crate, the best crate you can possibly find anywhere in the world. They've got all of the cool licenses. They have got Marvel. They have got Star Wars. And they've got WWE. So basically, each and every month, you get this box full of cool stuff with a t-shirt, a playing card, a collectible, and so much other fun stuff. each and every month for just $20. And if you sign up at lootcrate.com, you put in the code PWTorch, you get $3 off on your first crate. And, you know, the holiday season, who doesn't like to get stuff? Another gift idea for the wrestling fan on your list with the exclusive WWE Slam Crate from lootcrate.com. And you can do one of those cool unboxing videos with Sean Radican and so many other people do. And you can check out all the fun stuff that they have at lootcrate.com. Put in the code PWTorch and get $3 off your first crate with Loot Crate. It's where all the cool stuff is, all the licenses. Loot Crate has done an amazing job locking down so many of the popular licenses, and they've got Game of Thrones. They've got just all the cool stuff. So check it out at lootcrate.com. It's Jim Valley. It's Saturday Morning Wrestling, and I do want to mention a couple of birthdays today. Randy Hales, who's been on the show. Matter of fact, if it wasn't for Randy, we wouldn't have gotten to talk to Bill Dundee. Randy, of course, a wrestling fan who lived his dream being a manager in Memphis and running Power Pro Wrestling, and is now the manager of Jerry the King Lawler's, Hall of Fame Bar and Grill on Beale Street. So happy birthday to Randy. Thank you for being on the show, and we certainly wish you the best, nothing but the best. And speaking of the best, Bruce Mitchell. He's having a birthday today. Bruce Mitchell, one of the key reasons to sign up and be a part of the Pro Wrestling Torch. You can sign up at pwtorch.com/govip. Not only get all the news and all of the podcasts, including the livecast, commercial free, but each and every week, Bruce Mitchell does 2 hours of the, at least 2 hours, it seems, of the Bruce Mitchell audio show with Wade Keller. And it's Bruce's analysis like nobody else can do. So sign up at pwtorch.com/govip. But happy birthday to Bruce, one of the major voices in professional wrestling and one of the key people in the world of wrestling. His analysis is thorough and well thought out. And his point of view is unlike anybody else's, and one of the reasons why you should sign up for the Torch. So maybe we might even be talking to the birthday boy a little bit later on today. By the way, if you're joining us live, you're one of those people. We don't have Dave Sullivan. He texted me saying that he's in a meeting and won't be able to come on, which is, oh, well, that's the way it is sometimes. Wrestlers, they flake. Oh, well, it is what it is. Little annoyed, but there ain't nothing we can do about it. So we're going to do what we do each and every Saturday. We're going to talk wrestling. But, hey, it gives you an opportunity to call in at 515-605-9345, 515-605-9345. If you want to call up and talk wrestling, any of your favorite memories growing up, any questions you've always had, or anything of the like, you can do so here on Saturday Morning Wrestling on the PW Torch Livecast. Not many more opportunities to do it with me because I'm going away. By the way, you can also email at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at Jim Valley. So any of those things that you want to do, you can do so this morning here on the very popular PW Torch Livecast. Hey, it was on this day 43 years ago today, 1973, a long, long time ago, when Bruno Sammartino won his second Worldwide Wrestling Federation, WWWF, championship. He won it from Stan the Man Stasiak in Madison Square Garden. Stan Stasiak, of course, held the title for 9 days. And while that's not a very long reign, back then, the way the Worldwide Wrestling Federation was set up, that's about as good as a heel was going to get, because it was always a babyface territory, and it was always about the babyface defending the world. It was all about the world championship being defended by a good guy and various bad guys calling in. And, you know, Stan Stasiak, he was Canadian, but he had a lot of ties to Portland. He wrestled a lot in Portland, and his worked hometown was Buzzards Creek, Oregon. I don't even know if there's a real Buzzards Creek, but he was part of the Portland community and wrestled in Portland as both a good guy and a bad guy. Matter of fact, some of his last work, I think all of his last work, his last territory was here in Portland. And Stan Stasiak is a guy who you probably just know as the dad of Sean Stasiak of Meat from the Attitude Era of WWF, but I thought he was a pretty good wrestler. He was really no more of a journeyman. But one of the, he was also one of the masters of the hard punch. I don't think he ever killed guys on TV like he did like Ox Baker did. But if you watch some of his stuff from Portland Wrestling, by this time he was the grand old man because he's, probably in his 50s getting ready to retire. And when he was a good guy, he's standing there and he's standing up. And of course, he's all shucks and, mom and pop and apple pie. And we're going to fight the good guy, fight the bad guys and fight the good fight and everything. And then he turned heel. He joined the evil army of Buddy Rose. And Buddy Rose was, of course, the perennial heel in Portland. And when he joined Buddy Rose's army, he did these great little subtle things. He would hunch over. He would hunch over and he would have this weird posture and he would scowl and he just did these little things to show the difference between now he was a bad guy. And these subtleties, it wasn't over the top, but it was brilliant. And you can find some of these things on YouTube. So I would look them up, but just brilliant. Stan Stasiak, I think. And he's a guy who doesn't get a lot of credit. And, it's too late for him to go into the WWE Hall of Fame. I really wish he was there. The best they could do is probably put him in a group, kind of like they did last year. And, and do that, but that's just not gonna happen. He's not gonna be in the Hall of Fame. But I think he's certainly worthy. But it's not gonna happen. But oh well, he was brilliant. If you ever get a chance to see any of his stuff in Portland Wrestling, I think you should check it out. Anyway. It's Jim Valley. It's Saturday Morning Wrestling. It's 515-605-9345. If you want to call in and talk some old school wrestling here on the live cast, let's go to the phone. Let's go to 862. Area code 862. You're on the live cast. Who's this and where are you calling from?
It's Kylan, Jim. How are you?
Kylan, what's going on, my friend?
Not much. Sorry to hear that you're leaving us. I was certainly looking forward to doing more of these with you, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, it happens. I mean, and you never know. I mean, things could, maybe I'll do a different live cast. Maybe I'll come back and do Saturdays eventually. I mean, you never know what's going to happen in this crazy world. But for right now, I'm going away. It's been fun, but, it is, I got to do what I got to do.
Yeah, I understand.
So what's on your mind today?
So since Mickey James got signed to a two year deal apparently, I was thinking of a question in a similar vein. But the question that I have is this. Which wrestlers who might not be able to...
Oops, sorry, Kyle, and I hit your button on accident. Which wrestler might be able to what? Hey, by the way, Kylan, is there something up? I hear an echo coming back at me.
It might be our connection, but
okay. Well, anyway, go ahead. Keep going.
Which wrestlers who might not be able to get in the ring on a full time basis, but can still contribute to the business in a training capacity, would you like to see maybe work at the Performance Center someday?
Well, it looks like Steve Corino is going back. Gosh, you know, I'd have to think about that one. That's a hard one. You know, if he had time and the money, I think Stone Cold would be great to talk about interviews and, you know, when it finally clicked for him. You know, so much of wrestling right now is moves and doing great moves, and those are great. But you know, it's all about interviews and connecting with the audience, and I think Stone Cold is an expert on that, and he probably has too much going on where it wouldn't happen, but it would be great if he could do some seminars talking about, you know, those little things that connect with fans. And when, you know, he went from being Stunning Steve, who was a very good wrestler, who a lot of wrestling fans and torch readers loved, to a guy who got over with the mainstream and with a much more broader audience. If you can talk about the things that he did that got that going, I think that would be very valuable for a lot of people. But Stone Cold's probably too busy to do that. He's, you know, it's probably out of his pay range. But, you know, I think that would be a good story to tell upcoming students how to make that connection with a broad audience and the difference between Stunning Steve Austin and what Stone Cold did to get over.
That's a good one. The person I had in mind is probably too passé to even be considered, but for some reason, Kevin Sullivan came to my head.
Why?
Because I think he would be good working with heels. For example, I hate to go with the obvious, but Bray Wyatt, since I feel like he's a little bit too, not goofy, but what word would I be looking for? He's not supposed to be getting cheerful reactions when he's coming out, let's say that.
He's got wrestling goofy face. I think he's, you know, I think you want that character to look sinister, but instead, you know, he kind of has, you know, he looks like a nice enough guy, and he's got sort of this well-meaning, affable look. So, you know, I think he needs to work on his facial expression so he looks as intimidating facially as he does physically.
Exactly. Or maybe a Bob Orton could work on technical stuff with everybody.
I think they've got technical stuff for days down there. I think they've got plenty of technical wrestlers. But what are you gonna do? Anything else, Kylan?
That'll be all for this week, Jim.
All right, man. Take care. Thanks so much. There's Kylan. He's dialing up at 515-605-9345, and you can do it as well here on the PW Torch livecast with Jim Valley. Also, what news today? Lita apparently gone from the WWE. No word as to why, but she is gone, and kind of sad. I mean, I thought that, you know, she's a legend in a lot of people's minds, and I don't think she was the best talker in the world, but, you know, I think she brought something to the pregame shows as far as, you know, like I said, I think she's a legend in a lot of people's minds. And also it was this week in history where she and Trish Stratus, they main evented Raw until the era of Charlotte. The last people to main event, last women, I should say, to main event a WWE Raw show. And now, I mean, everything's happening with women. And it's about time. WWF is so slow on doing everything. And sometimes that's good because you never know what trends and fads, or you never know if it's going to work out. But, I mean, women's wrestling is something that should have happened a long time ago, particularly with the success of the TNA knockouts. But, I mean, and Lita, you know, I don't think she was the best worker in the world. And I think that a lot of it, you know, and I think that, you know, she was fine. But I think a lot of it was the fact that, you know, they booked her to be able to do that Hurricane Rana, the Lita Hurricane Rana, on men, and you know, be a key part of the Hardy Boy stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way wrestling is. You're supposed to book people to look like superheroes. So that's not a criticism. But I mean, you know, she really was an inspiration to a lot of little girls, and you know, she was a heartthrob to a lot of young boys. She was, you know, she was this alternative chick with the tattoos and the T-bars and everything. And I think that, you know, even though, like I said, she's not the best talker in the world, I think there's still a place for her in WWE. I mean, but that's, you know, who knows why she was fired. Maybe she did something inappropriate, or there's something we don't know about, and there's something behind the scenes. I mean, and who knows? But either way, Lita gone this week, but she certainly is a legend. And probably should be treated as such. Hopefully we'll see her back in the WWE at some point. But I mean, Trish Stratus, Lita, you know, they're legends now. That was one of the highlights of my year, is going to a Cauliflower Alley in Las Vegas and seeing Trish Stratus accept the Mike Mazurki Award. First woman ever to win the Mike Mazurki Award. She gave such a great speech. You know, she was unabashedly in her speech. The theme was that she was a pro wrestling fan growing up, and she wrestled with her brothers and her family growing up as a kid. And she did all of this for wrestling, and she was proud to be a wrestler and not a sports entertainer. And it was a great, great speech. And, you know, that's one of the other things that I'm proud of this show, is that we kind of shone a light. And I mean, it's been around for a long time. I'm certainly not the only person, but I'm proud that we all, you know, we also helped in shining a light, even more of a life, more of a light rather on Cauliflower Alley Club and all the great work that it does. And I know that because of some interviews that we did on this show, that some people have joined Cauliflower Alley, and also they're probably going to be going in April in Las Vegas. And speaking of that, another great thing that if you listen to the show regularly, you knew was already coming, but this week it was announced that the Cauliflower Alley Club is going to be honoring the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. Yes, the very popular gorgeous ladies of wrestling. And if you grew up in the 80s, early 90s, you remember the gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
Slam, bam, wrestling dance. Come on.
definitely going to be in your ear all day now. The gorgeous ladies of wrestling are going to be honored this year by the Cauliflower Alley Club. And one of my favorite interviews this year was talking to the great Queen Kong, Matilda the Hun, Deanna Booher, who was on Married with Children and various movies and so many commercials and TV shows. And she was the big monster of the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. And she did roller derby and stuff. And you can go back in the archives and listen to it commercial free if you're a VIP member. But she's going to be honored, which is great, because she's primarily on a scooter now because of her lupus and just, you know, all the bumps that she took in professional wrestling. We also talked a couple of weeks after that to Roxy Astor, and they're going to be honored then again this year at the Cauliflower Alley Club. So if you have a chance, you should go. It's pretty affordable as far as trips go. You know, it's like a $35 or $45, I forget, room rate in Las Vegas. You can talk to all the wrestling fans. They do seminars and things like that, and it's a great time. And you know, one of the thrills for me was being able to interview Lance Russell this year, longtime announcer for Memphis with Jerry Lawler and everything. So go back if you can in the archives if you haven't heard it. Listen to Matilda the Hun and Roxy Astor, and of course the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. They are doing their popular Afterglow Cruise. You can find, I think, at Afterglow Party or something like that, or find Roxy Astor on Facebook or Twitter. You can get information on that if you want to go cruising with the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. It's Jim Valley. It's the PW Torch Livecast. Dave Sullivan was supposed to be here today, but unfortunately, he had a meeting. He canceled, and so he's not here. So it's just you and I talking old school wrestling here on the PW Torch Livecast.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch Livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in PWTORCH.com/Amazon. That's PWTORCH.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you.
It's the PW Torch Livecast. It's Jim Valley, and we are here, and we are live each and every Saturday here on the Livecast. And hang on one second. I'm getting a text. Sorry about this. Sometimes things happen when you don't have a producer, and you're here live, and people cancel on you. It's just... oh, well, it's just like, oh, hey, another thing that happened this week in wrestling or earlier, remember the big deal when Stone Cold Steve Austin was on that symbol crucified on Monday Night Raw and what a controversy it brought up? And I can understand that. You know, a lot of people, they are, you know, you have your beliefs, I have mine, and I don't know. While it didn't offend me personally, it made me uncomfortable because there's a lot of people who are deeply religious, and I just thought that it was in bad taste. But it's so weird now to look at all the things that happen on WWE and or that used to happen. Anyway, hey, I would texted people, and we were supposed to have Dave Sullivan on, but unfortunately, Dave couldn't make it. But joining us now just for a couple of minutes from last week is, and he's doing Portland TV right now, doing the West Coast Wrestling Connection, your buddy, my buddy, the great grappler, Len Denton. What's going on, boss?
Hi.
Oh, who's this?
Actually, this is Kate Carney. The grappler's indisposed right now. He's too busy planning our whole show.
Of course. He's booking everything. What's going on, Kate?
Not a whole lot. How are you doing?
I'm miserable, but that's beside the point.
You're miserable. Well, why aren't you ready to watch Dub C tonight on TV?
You know, I'm in Seattle. I got to watch it on YouTube.
No, all right. We'll forgive you then.
All right. All right, Kate. Well, give the grappler my best, and we'll be watching.
I sure will.
We'll look it forward.
I'm also here with Caleb.
Oh, Caleb. Mm-hmm. The great Caleb Cummins.
Yeah, I'll hand it right over.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Here you go.
Hello.
Hey, Caleb. It's Jim Valley. We're on the PW Torch livecast. What's going on?
No, not a lot, man. Just getting ready for the show.
Hey, man, you've had a great year. You've done TV for TNA and WWE, haven't you?
Not WWE. TNA, definitely. I had signed a contract there in May. I'm just waiting for things to pick up.
Good deal. I mean, you know, I think you've got a great look, and I could, you know, I'm kind of surprised. You know, one of the things that I've been surprised about is that, you know, I'm glad things are finally getting going for you. But it seems like it should have already happened for you. But that's just my opinion. Did you do NXT, or am I thinking of somebody else?
Probably thinking of somebody else. I did one Rosebud spot for WWE. That's all I've ever done.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, this is great for you, man. I hope it all works out. Now, were you how did you get into wrestling? This is kind of an old school show. We talk old school stuff. So how did you get the bug? How'd you get in?
Well, I grew up around it. Basically as far back as I remember, my dad was a roadie for David Allen Coe, David Allen Coe did all the Great American Bash stuff in like the early mid eighties. So basically, right out of the gate, I was introduced to professional wrestling. So it's just been something that stuck with me ever since I was a little kid. And then when I, you know, I got a chance about the same time I graduated high school to start training, and I hopped on it, never looked back.
Gotcha. So did you get to go to any? Were you old enough to go to any of those Great American Bashes or anything?
Well, I was being conceived at that point. So I mean, technically, I guess I was there. Depends on who you talk to.
Gotcha. Wow, how exciting. You got conceived at the Great American Bash. Well, I guess it was destiny then.
Yeah.
So who was your first favorite growing up?
My first favorite was Sting. Sting was my man all the way up until probably like I was in like middle school.
Was he Surfer Sting when you started watching, or was he the Crow?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Surfer Sting all the way. Surfer Sting and actually Great Muta. So basically anybody who wore face paint, I think, as a little kid, I was into.
You know, I liked Sting as well. And, you know, you look back and, you know, in all honesty, Sting wasn't the best promo. He even admitted getting lost sometimes while on the mic. But there was something about Sting that, you know, the wrestlers in that era, a lot of them were baby boomers. And they were cool and everything. You know, Dusty and whomever, Sting, you know, the Road Warriors and whatever, they were cool. But Sting was obviously younger, and there was just something about him that appealed, in my opinion, to a younger generation. He had that energy and that young attitude that I thought really made him pop off the page. And, you know, he wasn't like the best as far as matches and things, but as a younger fan, I identified with Sting because he seemed to be closer to what I thought and what I envisioned. Is that the way you saw Sting?
Yeah, that's kind of the way I saw it. And, you know, I think just as a kid and you don't really know any better, like,
yeah,
you see something, you like it, you don't really know why. Like, I think that, like, some of the biggest names in wrestling kind of fit in that same category of Sting of, like, you know, if you look at the numbers, if you look at each statistic, he wasn't really the best in any of those things. But for whatever reason, that intangible, that star power, I guess, was, like, just for whatever reason, that fits. Like, Goldberg's Sting, Ultimate Warrior, there's tons of dudes who, if you look back on paper, they shouldn't have been massive stars, but that one variable you really can't account for.
You know, and someone called in and asked if there's any wrestler I'd like to see do some teaching at the Performance Center, and off the top of my head, I was thinking Stone Cold Steve Austin, and for that very reason you're talking about, how I think a lot of people who are coming up in wrestling right now, and there's a lot of ridiculously talented people, you know, yourself, Will Ospreay, Ricochet and things, But a lot of times you need that intangible. You need that interview. You need that charisma. And I think Steve Austin, although I'm sure he doesn't have the time and they couldn't pay him to do it full time, but he can talk about that jump that you need to make from being great technically, bell to bell, to that intangible to connect with the audience. And I think you're right about that as far as wrestlers go. A lot of times people aren't the best, but they have that spark that the audience latches onto, and then that's what shoots them to the top.
Yeah.
Well, look, man, hey, I know you're working. I really appreciate the call. It's great to get to talk to you. I wish you the best, and hopefully great things for you will happen in TNA, regardless of some of their
sure.
ups and downs in 2016. But you're a quality person, and I wish you the best. And to give my best to Jeff Manning. You know, I used to be, years ago, I was actually the announcer for the West Coast Wrestling Connection.
No, really?
Give my best to Pat and Jeff and everybody, and have a good show tonight, man. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, definitely will. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, real quick, what's your Twitter handle, and how can fans connect with you?
At Caleb Conley on Twitter, at Caleb Conley on Instagram. Basically, any of the social media is at my name, Caleb Conley.
All right, man. I wish you nothing but the best. And if I could give you any advice, it's stay away from Johnny Fairplay.
You're not the first person to tell me that.
And I won't be the last. All right, man. Thanks. Have a good show.
All right. Appreciate
There's,
it.
There's Caleb Conley dialing up. Thanks to the Grappler for throwing him on there at 515-605-9345. It's Jim Valley. Dave Sullivan was supposed to call in, but he didn't. It's the way it goes sometimes. We roll with the punches. And joining us now is the birthday boy. He's the favorite Torch columnist of virtually everyone. He's Bruce Pritchard's favorite punching bag. He's Bruce Mitchell. Happy birthday, Bruce.
Why, thank you, Jim. I grew up watching Sting, too. And when I was a kid, I thought a lot of the Crow Sting when I was in junior high.
Really? I thought you grew up with George Hackenschmidt.
Well, yeah, I'm closer to George Hackenschmidt than Crow Sting, yeah.
But I thought he made a really good point where, you know, Sting was not, you know, and now Sting, of course, as you've talked about on some of your Bruce Mitchell updates, audio shows, which you can get if you're a Torch VIP member by going to pwtorch.com/goVIP. You can sign up and get usually about 2 hours each and every weekend with you and Wade Keller, you making some great points and Wade Keller trying to talk over you and argue everything. You know, you talked about Sting going in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame, and, you know, I think Caleb made the right point that, you know, Sting isn't the best wrestler, he wasn't the best interview, he really wasn't the best at anything, but he did have that intangible that a lot of fans identified with.
Well, that intangible, however you want to call it, charisma, the it factor, the star quality, whatever it is, and it's not just what you were... You know, do you want to watch them on television? Can they compel you to spend money to go buy a ticket to go see them, or buy a pay-per-view, or buy some of the merchandise, or a doll, or whatever it is? That's the most important. What Caleb was talking about is the most important thing. Ring work is great, promos are great, all that stuff, and they all should connect. But it's that star quality, it's that ability to excite people with. Hit them in their imagination that to me is the biggest thing in professional wrestling and the biggest thing in entertainment. In sports, you can, straightforward sports, you can have it and it helps a lot, but if you can perform and achieve, that's the most important thing. But that it quality is huge in professional wrestling.
I think, you know, as far as someone, you know, you mentioned Ultimate Warrior. I think that's a great example. You know, there's a lot of people who are, you know, maybe more style than substance. But, I mean, that's the mark of a good promoter and a good booker, to squeeze whatever you can out of a talent to get them over, whether they're the best or not. We talked about Lita, who it was this week, what was it, 12 or so years ago, where she and Trish Stratus main evented a Monday Night Raw where Lita won the title. And I think Lita's another great example of that. You know, she wasn't a great wrestler, but she had a great look and a certain charisma, and they played to those strengths. And now in the minds of the WWE universe, you know, she's a legend. And even though she wasn't the best, I think rightfully so.
Well, legends, it's interesting. WWE is in the business of marketing legends, you know, and so they've got, and through, they've got credibility with their fan base, with, you know, a particular part of it, where if they position someone, and they have to have enough, you know, you can't position anybody, but they have to have enough with this, that now, you know, that Lita could be a legend in those fans' minds. And that's what counts. I mean, that's kind of, now they don't think she's a legend enough to keep her on the payroll, which tells you something too. And they may, you know, this may kind of go around, but, you know, I think when you, when you're a promotional company with as many years in business, successful years in business, WWE, and you're trying to get over modern stars like Charlotte and Sasha Banks and Bayley, then it helps to have a history that you can pick and choose and cherry pick and go, well, you know, they're part of a line of important things. That this was important back then and now it's important now, where and overplay, you know, Lita and Trish, where Lita and Trish, you know, were an appetizer on the show. The word special attraction is used too much. So, but, you know, they were the last match on a Raw, and had a match that counted for something, with Trish winning the title, and but they were always, you know, this, you know, all those years that women were ancillary, and now they're working on, they're progressing towards the women being something that WWE can count on a regular basis for main events. I don't know if they'll get there, but you use that history, and you need legends to do that, and so, you know, Lita this year could be a legend, and maybe they're pushing something else next year, and she's not mentioned as much. But, you know, it helps Lita on the, you know, Lita to charge a certain price if she wants to make appearances, Lita to charge certain prices for pictures and autographs and all that, so it helps her too.
Yeah, well, you know, you could definitely make some money on the indie scene for a while, so hopefully she can do that. Hopefully, you know, I don't know what her financial situation is, but from what seems like she saved her money and is done all right. And, you know, the other thing with Lita is with the popularity of delete, delete, delete and all of that stuff, you know, I don't know what her, you know, what she wants to do in the future, but, you know, it's certainly easy to envision her, you know, maybe changing her act and somehow becoming, you know, part of the whole Brother Nero thing, if that's what she wanted to do. But, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting idea. I don't know where everybody stands, and I really don't, you know, personally with all that, in that family, in that group of performers. But, yeah, I mean, Matt Hardy's done a great job of getting attention and reinventing himself and his brother in a way that he can monetize, and he's done that. And so if you can, you know, if you can take what makes you a legend and change it, you know, tweak it a little bit, or maybe even not tweak it, and still stay relevant and not just be a legend, not just be a nostalgia act, you know, that's an advantage, particularly in an era where, this 50-50 booking era, where there's a lot of very good wrestlers, but they're not over. If you were made and we're over before that era, Randy Orton's the great example of it, you can stay over, where it's so hard to get over the hump if you're, you know, if you're a contemporary wrestler. So it's interesting. It's kind of watching the back and forth with that stuff. I don't know what happens with her. I mean, I don't know where, you know, I didn't think she did a very good job on those pre-shows, but I don't think those pre-shows are set up for anybody to do a good job. I think it's an impossible task because they don't talk about, I mean, I think if you really strict, if you had a really controlled storyline and you really went by, you know, logic and baby, you know, what, that the good guys were doing good things and the bad guys were, you know, despicable and doing the wrong thing and cheating, and I hope they don't get away with it, maybe you could do a pregame show like that but they're not interested in doing that, and so they're stuck with, you know, this is going to be a great match. Well, this is going to be a great match. Well, this, you know, that's a great wrestler. Well, she's going to wrestle. Look what he said, you know, opportunity and desire and passion and, you know, just a lot of meaningless cliches. I don't know what you, you know, I don't know how you do that job. And she wasn't that good at it. So, and, you know, so I'm not all that surprised. And then Jerry Lawler, it just seems like, played out the end of a long, long string, and we saw it play out this week.
Yeah, I think, you know, Lawler, all good things must come to an end. And, you know, I know I saw, you know, online a couple of Memphis message boards on Facebook. There's some, you know, Memphis fans who were really, really upset about it. But, you know, at some point it was going to come to an end. And it's not like he's been doing amazing work. You know, Jerry Lawler, obviously a really smart guy and a tremendous career, arguably one of the smartest wrestlers ever in the history of the sport. But, you know, it was going to happen. I don't see it as that big of a deal. It was just something that was on its way to happening, and it just happened to be announced or get out there this week.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's a pattern to how they, you know, they know they can't just have a legend on Raw or SmackDown and then just kick him out the door. They see the perception in that. So there's a little process that they make. And they did it with Jim Ross, and they did it. And, you know, you can argue, and I would, this idea that you that everybody on your television show has to be young and look a certain way. I think you need some people that contrast that. And Jerry Lawler's not a, you know, Jerry Lawler's had some help. He's not a bad looking guy, even at his age. He's sort of beaten. You know, he's always one of those performers who's found a way to beat, you know, at least surface-wise, age. And so, yeah, but it was kind of coming. I mean, I understand wrestling fans being upset, particularly if you grew up in Memphis all those years, and this guy's your hometown hero or your hometown guy, and you're going to be slip-sick of that. But, it, you know, if Lawler's smart, he knew, he had to know, excuse me, had to know it was coming. So I don't know that this is like a trauma to him. He's got his restaurant. He's still Jerry Lawler. And he's got ways to make money. And I mean, he has his habits that are expensive. But I would imagine he's done well for himself for all these years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure financially he's been set for a long, long, long time. So, you know, and he'll do conventions. He'll probably still wrestle a few indie dates in the South or wherever people wanna pay him. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. So it is the nature of, you know, the nature of life, particularly the nature of broadcasting, for some turnover to occur. It's just kind of annoying to watch people who aren't very good at their job, who have the job just because cosmetically they look a certain way. I mean, I know sideline reporting is definitely, you know, in sports and in football, is definitely given over to that. But a lot of the women who, you know, who are there to provide some contrast, I guess, also are talented in what they do and know their football. And, you know, the men, the news bunnies in WWE, you know, some of them, I mean, either they're versed in that corporate speak and they're very good at that, and they check off something on the human, you know, on the HR board, or they just don't know what, you know, they don't have any authenticity. They don't seem to know what it is they're doing. So that part is like, well, Jerry Lawler naturally can do stuff. And I think of Michael Cole, last time I went to Raw a few months ago, comes out, he's the voice of the company. He's the guy that sells everything. He should be the most credible voice. He comes out to the, comes out before the show, and everybody boos. And Jerry Lawler, you know, back a few years ago when Miz was world champion, Jerry Lawler, at the age of 60, whatever he was, had fans wanting him to win the world title. So there's something about once you've got that connection, you know, number one, build that connection and keep it there. And, you know, with Cole, that heel thing many years ago, I think really, with Jerry Lawler, really hurt him. And you know, once you have that credibility and all those little tricks to keep people engaged with you, that's something to be valued. And Lawler had that, has that.
Hey, by the way, Bruce, I don't know if you heard, but I'm going to be wrapping up my stint here on Saturday Morning Wrestling probably next weekend. And there's probably going to be a slot open. So if you want to do more Torch Audio, you know, you could do the live cast here on Saturday mornings. I think that'd be a great fit for you.
So that international travel is just, you know, now that we have a new administration and the hoi polloi, I mean, I think you people really are getting around. So is that what kind of got in the way of it, that, you know, going to all these beautiful places all the time and having these beautiful times and beautiful experiences? I don't envy you. I think that's pretty tough. You could be sitting and doing this stuff. So.
What do you mean? You mean like when I went to Charlotte and saw you and Britt Whitmire?
Oh, your breakthrough weekend, yeah. Man, that was like, I started off that weekend, you know, Torch Cedar Thomas, pretty cool. When I was driving down, when I got there, it was like, you know, Jim Valley. Jim Valley's doing a great job. You know, did you see what he did? Jim Valley. Jim Valley, I just stood there. I was like, that was your breakthrough weekend. So
yes, it made me so much money.
I'm thinking this year, I sat at Conrad Thompson's elbow for several years. I think this year is the year that I just get on your coattails and free me away all the way through Charlotte.
There you go. Sure, why not? It's been a fun year wrestling wise, but what's going on is looks like I'm taking a job that's gonna have me working Saturday. So I actually have to make money instead of doing this broadcasting stuff for free. So what are you gonna do?
I can't tell you how disappointed I am to hear that you got a job. Wow.
I know, amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad. I really am glad. I like having this conversation on the air, but yeah, I really am glad. That's cool. That's good.
There you go.
You got to do something with that picture, though. I didn't get a chance to say. It's like, to you looking like Orville Redenbacher. I mean, you gotta brand that and use that, whatever you do.
Which picture?
The one with you in the bow tie, kind of smiling at the new one.
Oh, right.
I'm thinking, I could see that, like Jim Valley's orange preserves on a bottle. I mean, I could definitely work.
There we go. Maybe I can find some cheap liquor to put my face on. Maybe I could be the new face of Mad Dog 2020 or something. That seems more appropriate.
You make money with a cheap liquor. There's no doubt. So, if you're leaving, so what's your most memorable guest, or what's the guest that you had on the show that you really like look back and go, damn, and are, you know, like really still excited about?
You know, for me personally, it was having Austin Idol on and then having him be really happy with the interview. You know, he tweeted about it and he rarely ever tweets. And then when I met him in person and I go, hey, I'm Jim Valley. And he was like, Jim Valley. Oh, and he was, you know, really, really nice. So that was cool. You know, I think B. Brian Blair.
He was a guy that didn't do a lot of this. He was a guy that never did a lot of the shoot stuff. And when he did it, he was just like he was in his wrestling career. Very particular, you know, very particular in how he did it and what he did. And, yeah, you guys, you broke through. I don't know anybody else ever did. And I'm an Austin Idol. I mean, you know, I'm jealous of that one. Like, I'm an Austin Idol guy for sure. Austin Idol in Georgia and in Memphis and in Continental. He was like the other Ric Flair. He was cool. And I think my two favorites of the wrestling music things that definitely show my age, but also I just think because they were kind of organic too. One was Bad Street by the Freebirds, and the other was Heartthrob, Johnny Legend's deal. I mean, I just remember watching Heartthrob with Austin Idol. I know you like put it up. It's on YouTube. And I just thought, I could still quote half the words from Matt. I mean, I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was just it had that rock and roll thing, and it was like funny and cool and, you know, and completely organic. And it just appeared in the mail. Georgia Championship Wrestling, they watched it and put it up on the air. Idolmania. So, he was quite the, I mean, he had the it factor for sure, and he had the promo. I mean, he had the package.
I think, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling were a lot of fun. Having Queen Kong on was fun. B. Brian Blair told a lot of stories. He really opened up in a way that I wasn't expecting. It was fun to get Rhonda Shear on. You know, I don't know that she's ever done a wrestling podcast before this one. I think that was a lot of fun. So, I mean, you know, the Grappler was entertaining. Yeah, there have been a lot of fun interviews. Mickey James comes to mind, you know, interviewing her at Legends Fan Fest. I mean, I knew she was popular, but when I tweeted it out, the engagement and the reaction that got, you know, I didn't realize that she was at a whole nother level of popularity that never registered with me. And I think that her going back to WWE is going to be a pretty big deal if they can book her in a strong and positive way. I think she could really be an asset to the company.
Yeah, if anybody ever passed an audition, it was her with Asuka, and her work at NXT. It's like, yeah, if you know, they made like the common sense decision of there's something we can still do with her, and she's more centered in her life than she was when she left before, and you know, married, family, and all that. And so it's like, yeah, use it, you ought to. And it's always interesting to me. When you go, and you saw that, but I mean, and you've seen it before, when you go to these fan fest nostalgia things, the women that have been on television, they have a different type of power over fans. I mean, it's like, and they have some different type of fans. Sometimes you don't realize how much, you know, there are wrestling fans that are more devoted to the women than they are to the men as a niche, and they show up. And so, yeah, I'm not surprised that, you thought like, well, she was an attraction of a star, but, and then you got more of a reaction, because that can definitely happen with a woman.
Yeah, I think, like I said, you never know how she's going to be booked until you see it, but there is definitely a very passionate fan base for her. There's, I think, a lot of great memories for her, and she had one of the longest lines at FanFest, one of the biggest crowds for her, for Q&A, and like I said, her online engagement on Twitter was something that was at another level than I expected. So I think 2017 could be a really great year for her if WWE sees her in the same light that I think that she actually is in. And that's another story altogether. We've written many stories. We've talked about it many times about the booking and how WWE sees certain talent regardless of how the fans see them. So we'll have to wait and see.
Well, I think she fits into what they're looking for in that she's athletically credible. She's good in the ring, so you can play up, you know, you can play up that part. She can fit in with the top level of women in Raw and SmackDown. And then she's great looking, and, you know, I think that the Ronda Rousey template is, you know, to be the athlete first, and then have the sex appeal second. That way, you can get the soccer mom women, and you can get the guys too, and it fits for the rest of WWE, which they're about pretty boys too. So, I think she could fit into the new era pretty well.
And she is in amazing condition. I mean, she looked tremendous at FanFest. That was one of the things I was surprised about with her match with Asuka, is how, you know, the camera adds 10 pounds, and she looks incredible in person. She didn't look quite as good on camera, but she is in amazing condition, and, there will be no Piggy James angles this time around, which is a good thing.
Let's hope, I'd like to not see that again for anybody.
No question. So what are your birthday plans, Bruce?
I was going to say, well, no, I'm not going to say that. Just kind of enjoying my day off and hanging out with my family. So that's just fine. That'll be cool. And now that I'm Mr. Years Late on social media, but on it, I've really enjoyed some of that. At Mitchell PW Torch and Facebook. So that's kind of cool. That's kind of interesting to see. One of my kind of worlds collide. Facebook, one of my idiot teacher friends trying to get at me, takes a picture of me, pulls out a picture of me from 3 or 4 years ago wearing a cheap plastic crown on my birthday at school, and then Jim Ross sees it. So that kind of thing is like, you just kind of laugh at that. That's kind of fun. So, in comments.
Well, I wish you nothing but the best. And again, if you want to sign up for the Torch, one of the best reasons to sign up and go VIP is the Bruce Mitchell audio update. Each and every weekend, he and Wade Keller talk about history. They talk about the top news of the week. And Bruce, one of the most respected voices in wrestling, regardless of what Bruce Pritchard says. And he's definitely a reason why you should sign up at pwtorch.com/goVIP. Well, thank you for everything. And by the way, another highlight of my year was you taking me to Bojangles. That's a pretty good place. That's delicious chicken.
That's amazing. I mean, like, took you to Bojangles and the year before that you came down, Cookout. So just depends on where you live. Bojangles is just part of the community here. It's not, you don't take your prom date to Bojangles for a special occasion. But if you're from another part of the country, it's like, oh yeah, you want to eat at those places. I'm sure whatever point I come up to the Northwest to live with you and your lovely bride, and y'all support me, that you'll be taking me to, those type of places up there.
We'll take you to Dick's Drive-In, which is a Northwest favorite, started in Seattle. So I'll definitely repay the favor. So
it's almost
as good as Cookout.
And play some pinball. Yeah, that'd be cool.
And some WrestleFest. All right, man. Well, happy birthday. Thanks for being on the show today. And we'll talk to you soon. There's
the very popular
Bruce Mitchell on PW Torch Livecast. It's Jim Valley. As I mentioned, sorry about Dave Sullivan. He bailed at the last minute. So it is what it is. What can I tell you? I can't control those things. But up until the very last minute, he said he was going to be here. So sorry about that. Next week, probably the last show. I'm wrapping everything up. Thank you for a fabulous year. Thank you for everything. And as always, you can follow me on social media and keep up with everything I'm doing at Jim Valley. And so be sure to tweet to me. And like I said, I'll still be doing the Wayback Playback, at least for the time being, with Pat McNeil, another reason to go VIP and sign up for the Torch. And we'll still have the Total Chaos shows, the old shows from the year 2000 and 2001, the Attitude Era, that were on Portland Radio, Portland, Oregon Radio. So you can check those out too. So I'll still be around a little bit. I just won't be able to do the Saturday morning live cast, unfortunately. Well, thank you so much. Last show is next week for me, and we'll let you know what's going to happen with the future of the Saturday show and what Wade Keller is going to do about it. So thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week here on the PW Torch Livecast at pwtorchlivecast.com. See ya.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host 3 other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost 3 decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. It takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
No.